Each year, millions of trucks cross the U.S. border into Canada. The good news, if you've never been and one day will be going, is many Canadian trucking rules are nearly identical to those in the U.S. However, there are a few differences, and drivers can still run into problems that can result in fines for safety violations. But don't worry, because we've got details on what truck drivers as well as fleet managers need to know before drivers enter Canada for the first time. Welcome to another installment of Eyes on the Road, presented by Help Incorporated's PrePass, the provider of waystation bypass and toll payment services, along with trucking software. I'm Evan Lockridge. If you've never been out of the United States, the thought of going to a different country can be both exciting and a bit intimidating. It can be exciting to visit a place you've never been. In fact, Canada was the first place outside the U.S. I ever visited. But I admit, there was something nerve-wracking about going. Basically, I wondered to myself, would I slip up and do something that would land me in jail, never to be heard from again? Well, it turns out I made it back from Canada completely unscathed. And you know what? It's not a lot different than being in the U.S. Canada is the next-door neighbor of the U.S. It's not a different planet. But then again, I wasn't driving a big rig in Canada. Now, since you're listening, my bet is that either you're a trucker or a fleet person, and either you or one of your drivers may be going to Canada soon, or at least eventually. So what do you need to know about safety before entering? Well, joining me with some expert advice is Carrie Wachowski. Not only is she a genuine Canadian, she's the Director of Roadside Inspection Programs at the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance, whose members include both law enforcement and trucking. Before joining the group in 2017, she spent 3 decades with the Ontario Ministry of Transportation and was actively involved in commercial motor vehicle enforcement, including being the 2001 winner of CVSA's North American Truck Inspectors Competition. She joins me on the line from her office in Ontario. Carrie, welcome.
Thank you.
The first thing I think of when I think about a trucker heading into Canada is licensing. Is a U.S. commercial driver's license valid everywhere in Canada, or do they need something else, including a passport, before entering or even returning to the U.S.?
Well, when they enter Canada, the passport or the enhanced driver's license is a means to get through the border. So their CDL is accepted in Canada in every province. There's a reciprocity agreement between Canada and the U.S. So as long as the person is properly licensed in the state that they're registered in, then their license should suffice for driving into Canada, providing they don't have any restrictions or anything on their license preventing them from doing that, because there are some restrictions on licenses that prevent a driver from leaving the country. No different than if a Canadian driver goes into the U.S. As long as they're valid in the province that they're from, they will be valid in the state that they're driving in the U.S. The passport is a requirement from the federal government in order to cross the border, which is different.
Can you elaborate about what these restrictions may be on commercial driver's licenses that would keep a U.S. trucker from entering Canada?
Yeah, I'm more familiar with the Canadian restrictions, but there are U.S. restrictions that will prevent a driver. They may get a CDL and they may just be prohibited from leaving the country. They may have a specific restriction on their license to only be allowed to operate in their state. It's usually issued specifically from the state. In Canada, there's medical differences. So in some cases in Canada or the U.S. or both, a driver will not be able to operate in the other country based on a medical condition such as diabetes or something. So there'll be a restriction on their license indicating that for whatever reason, and it doesn't always tell you what the reason is, it just restricts them. And it says, you know, for instance, in Ontario, they have a W restriction and it says that the person is not allowed to operate in the United States. The inspector doesn't always know what the reasoning is. Sometimes it's buried inside the driver's license. And for freedom of information reasons and things like that, the inspector doesn't really need to know. They just need to know that he's operating contrary to a restriction.
Now, what about hours of service regulations, Carrie? Most every trucker knows, or at least should know, what they are in the U.S. Are Canadian hours of service different? And if so, how much different?
Canadian hours of service rules, they are different for sure. So, for the most part, Canadian hours of service rules are more lenient. For instance, in the U.S., you have an 11-hour rule. In Canada, the same rule is 13 hours. So 13 hours driving in Canada, 11 hours in the U.S. 14 hours is what a driver is allowed to accumulate in the U.S. before taking the 10 hours off. In Canada, they're allowed to accumulate 16, and they only have to take 8 hours off. There are more rules in Canada, though. There is a 14-hour on-duty rule. There's also day rules that I won't try to explain to you, but there are day rules. What I would suggest to any American that comes to Canada, and I used to suggest this to Americans on the side of the road all the time, run under your U.S. rules when you come to Canada. You'll never have a problem in Canada, but if you want to reset your cycle in Canada, it's 36 hours instead of 34. So if they run under the 11 and 14 and use a 36-hour reset, they will never have a problem running under the rules in either country. The one thing that they do have to keep in mind, though, is when they come to Canada, especially now with the ELD rule, when you cross the border, you are required to produce 14 days of logs, not 8, but 14. If you have an ELD, make sure that the ELD is capable of producing 14 days of logs when you cross into Canada, because if you don't, it's a violation here and you can be placed out of service here for not producing the 14 hours in Canada. Another issue is form and manner issues on logbooks or ELDs. For instance, I'll give you an example. In Canada, the driver must declare which cycle they're on. They're either on cycle 1 or cycle 2. There is no requirement for that in the U.S. If they cross the border, there has to be that form and manner information on the ELD or the logbook, whatever the case may be. When an American is purchasing an ELD with the thought of going into Canada, they should make sure and do a little homework to make sure that the ELD provider has built into the ELD some of the Canadian rule sets. They don't have to flip over to all the cycle requirements, but they do have to produce 14 days and they do have to have the form and manner requirements for Canada.
Let's talk about speed limiter regulations. They are controversial in both the U.S. and Canada, but the devices are not required here, yet they are in two Canadian provinces. Which provinces are those, Carrie?
In Canada, there are two jurisdictions that have a speed limiter law. One is the province of Ontario and the other one's the province of Quebec. So if they're going to go to those two jurisdictions, they need to set their speed limiter on their ECM to a maximum of 65 miles an hour or 105 kilometers, whichever the case may be. So in Ontario, they will plug into the ECM and read the speed limiter setting, and they will also, you know, if they catch you with a radar or LIDAR going over a specific speed, they can charge you with speeding and they can also charge you with a deeming provision in the regulation that basically says if you were going that speed, then your speed limiter was obviously not set where it's supposed to be. I know when I worked in Ontario, when it was implemented, a lot of Americans thought that they would be exempt from that. They're not. Regardless of where the truck is from, when operating in those two provinces, it needs to be set.
Let's talk about inspection reports. A few years ago, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration did away with these things if there were no problems found in a truck, so it's possible a driver may not have one when they get ready to enter Canada. But I understand that won't cut it at the border, right?
Right. So when an American comes into Canada, there is a reciprocity agreement for trip inspections, providing that the American driver produces something to the roadside inspector in Canada. So, as you already mentioned, a few years back, the U.S. no longer requires a driver to produce an actual document at the side of the road. They're still required to do a pre-trip and they're still required to do a post-trip, but they're only required to document it when a violation is noted on the inspection at post-trip. In a lot of cases, American drivers are used to not being asked for that document at the side of the road by inspectors. If they come to Canada, they have one of two options. They can either do the Canadian trip inspection requirement, which would require them to produce a schedule, or they can still do an American trip inspection and be able to produce that to the officer at the side of the road. It has to be dated and timed within 24 hours. So if they come to Canada, then they have to be able to produce that trip inspection from the U.S. And if they do, then there's a reciprocity agreement that basically indicates that they don't have to produce the trip inspection that a Canadian driver would be producing to an inspector at the side of the road. That's what most Americans do. But again, back to the electronic logging device, a lot of electronic logging device vendors have the trip inspection built into the device. What I hear from Canadian inspectors is when they come up to Canada and they ask the driver to produce that trip inspection report inside of the device, the driver doesn't really know how to pull it up and show it to the inspector. So the drivers need to be aware of that and know how to pull that up so that they can show it to the inspector. And I'm not talking about the time frame that he did the inspection, you know, from 7 to 7:30 on the graph grid. Yes, that needs to be there. It needs to be documented as on-duty, not driving time. But he also needs to be able to get into his device and pull up an electronic version of the trip inspection that he did. If he can't do that, then he should be noting that and being able to produce something on paper to the inspector at the side of the road, then he won't have any problems.
I want to veer off in a slightly different direction and touch on what's the bottom line when it comes to things such as firearms, food, other personal items, as well as a driver having a criminal record and trying to enter Canada.
Those three areas all refer back to the Canadian Border Services. Although I know that you shouldn't bring firearms to Canada, and I know just myself crossing the border as often as I do, bringing in meats and fruits and vegetables is not something that the Canadian Border Services want you to do. And then other personal items, I would really prefer people to talk to Canadian Border Services. I also know through my experience, trucking companies that have called me that say, you know, our driver has a DUI on his record from 22 years ago, and they won't let him across the border. What can they do? I did some research for some folks years ago on that, and there is ways to get a driver pardoned from that in order to be able to come to Canada. But again, I forwarded them off to the Canadian Border Services Agency to deal with how to do that. So yes, if you have a criminal record, it's not easy to get in, and that includes a DUI, and it goes far back.
You mentioned earlier about drivers receiving citations. How should drivers handle receiving one in Canada? In other words, is it any different if they received one when they're in the U.S. and they're far from their home state?
In Canada, for the most part, if you get a citation with a monetary value to it, the inspector will give you the citation and you will have a number of days to pay it. For instance, where I worked, it was a 15-day window that you could pay the ticket or plead not guilty. It's not something that you pay right at the spot on hand. I know in some states you do that. That didn't happen in the jurisdiction I worked in. I can't really speak for all the other provinces, but from what I know, it's very similar in the other provinces. I've never heard of an American being held to pay a fine in a specific jurisdiction here in Canada. So you get the ticket, you may be placed at a service, that's a different story. So if you're placed at a service, just like you are in the U.S., then you have to either serve the time, if it's your over your hours. If you're not licensed, then you've got bigger problems because you're going to have to somehow get a license or a licensed driver to get your truck out of there. Or if you're put out of service for violations regarding the vehicle, then you would have to get the vehicle repaired. That's no different than it is in the U.S., but an actual ticket citation, you should have time to pay it. And then my recommendation obviously would be to pay it. What happens is if it's specific to a driver, if I charged you $400 and you never pay that fine to the province of Ontario, then when you go back to the province of Ontario, you will have a record in Ontario. And if the inspector looks it up and can figure out that that's you, there may be a suspension for not paying the fine attached to your person, and you would be suspended in a specific province for not paying fines.
What about any special rules or regulations truckers need to keep in mind when it comes to weight laws in Canada that are different from the United States, Carrie?
Generally speaking, weight laws in Canada, again, are higher than the U.S., other than maybe Michigan and New York, because they have slightly different weight laws than the majority. The average, as you know, weight law in the U.S. is your 80,000 pounds. That would be a lot higher here in Canada for the exact same configuration. But the best I can suggest to you is if an American is coming up to Canada for the first time, they need to research that specific province that they're going to operate in, because the weight laws across this country, they're similar, but they're not the same. Every province has a website, and most of the provinces, you can go straight into their regulations and read about their weight laws. I have a 50-some-odd page book of the weight laws in the province of Ontario, because that's where I worked. And the best suggestion I could give Americans and Canadians alike was to take the book, find their configuration and make sure that they met all the requirements of that configuration. It would tell you what your lengths were allowed to be, what your weights are allowed to be, but it's not consistent from province to province.
That's Carrie Wachowski. Not only is she Canadian, she is the Director of Roadside Inspection Programs at the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance. Carrie, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And you can find more information when it comes to trucking safely into Canada. Just visit the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance's website at cvsa.org. You can also check out the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration's website, as well as the website of the Canada Border Services Agency. Don't forget, you can read more about other trucking safety topics by visiting the PrePass blog at prepass.com. That's PrePass.com. You can also keep up with PrePass on social media by logging on to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Plus, you can hear previous installments of this podcast or subscribe by going to the PrePass website, as well as from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Player FM, and Spotify. Just search using the term PrePass. Thanks for listening. I'm Evan Lockridge, and remember to keep your eyes on the road.